We are blessed today. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Let's Do a Radio Wednesday Night Bible Study. Today is April 27, 2022. I am Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais Dalcou Designs, and I am broadcasting to you worldwide. Yes, not just here, not just there, but worldwide. Every other Wednesday evening, such as tonight, the Reverends Carolyn and Rodney McCullough of Spread the Word Ministries out of Arlington, Texas, brings Bible study. And this evening will be What is My Treasure, taken from Matthew 6:19-24. So get your Bibles ready. Go into the Bible gate on the computer, like people would say, and just get ready for this evening's lesson of What is My Treasure. And we'd like to welcome our teachers, Reverend Carolyn and Rodney McCullough, to this evening's Bible study. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Amen.
And they will lead us in prayer.
Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Yes, yes.
I love those applause.
I try to make it real, so you're welcome. And Reverend Carolyn is with us.
Okay.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, wonderfully well. Thank you, and yourself?
Doing great.
Good, good, mm-hmm. good. So far we have Reverend C.W., Carolyn Williamson, C.M., Carolyn McCullough, and Reverend Rodney McCullough as well. So you all would lead us in prayer, and then we can go into our Bible study.
Amen. So, Heavenly Father, we come to you this evening, say thank you once again for allowing us to assemble ourselves together. We pray, O Lord, that you would forgive us for our sins and allow us, O God, to be made right before you, O God. We thank you, O Lord, for this opportunity of prayer, praise, Bible study, and just a time of fellowship among the saints.
Yes.
We just pray, oh God, that you will continue to allow us to get the word out and have more people to join us. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing, what you have done, and we thank you for those who are present. And we pray that you would just make more opportunities for us to be able to participate more with what's going on through Let's Do It Radio. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for this. We pray your continued blessings be upon her and that you continue to give her peace that passes all understanding. Thank you,
Thank you for everything that
you have done, everything that you will do. And we just believe that you will be with us during this time together tonight. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen again.
Thank you. Amen. 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 Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Loud and clear. Very clear. Thank you.
Loud and clear. To God be the glory. My prayer is that we all had a blessed day and that the blessings of the Lord has been with us and following us. It's good to hear everyone's voice. And we've been out that God will lead and guide us in our study. We've been doing a couple of things. We've been studying section by section, chapters 5, 6, and 7 in the book of Matthew. And each every other week we look at a section, but what we most often do is we read all the way from the beginning of where we started studying until where we will be begin on each night. So it does two things. It helps us to familiarize ourselves with these five, with these three chapters, 5, 6, and 7, when we conclude. So you would have read them a lot. And you may not remember all of what you read, but I promise you there'll be things that will come back to your mind, come back to your remembrance, come back to your heart, come back to your soul, come back to your spirit in the days and weeks to come. Matthew chapter 5. Again, Lord, we pray for forgiveness of our sins. We pray that you would use us to your glory as we study your word. So we all will share in this reading. I begin Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Seeing the crowd, he went up on the mountain. And when he had sat down, his disciples came to him. And this section was entitled, The Many Faces Are the Different Faces of a Blessing. And he opened his mouth and he taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse number 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Yeah. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed is the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And verse number 11, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely. Watch this, on my account, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Yes.
And if someone else would read verses 13, let's go through 16, those three verses, verses 13 through 16 for us.
That's Matthew 5.
Matthew 5, we just continue through.
13 through 16, I can do that. All right. Matthew 5, 13 through 16 reads as follows. Once it comes up on my computer. 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Amen. And that was the Christian purpose. And Ms. Inez, I want you to continue reading, because we looked at verses 17 through 20.
Okay.
It was why did Jesus come? So read those verses for us, 17, also through 20.
Mm-hmm. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. 18, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. 19, whosoever wherefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. For whosoever shall do it and teach them, and shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I'm sorry, which number did you want me to go to? I just get so into it.
Amen. You stopped at 20?
At 20. For I say unto you, except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. And that is from the King James Version.
Thank you, Reverend Carolyn Williams. We looked at anger, we looked at lust, and we looked at divorce and and retaliation. Mm-hmm. So if you will begin reading verse number 21, and you can read until you get tired, or you can read all the way through verse number 42, whichever one comes first. If you make it to verse 42,
you
will have went through all of those sections. Verse
21. Ye have heard that it was said by them of the old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. Ye have heard, in 27, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman with lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that thou one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. Want me to stop there? Continue. Okay, 31. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. 33, again, ye have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by the head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. 38. Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. 41, and whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. 43, ye have heard, it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of the Father of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. 46, for if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans do the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Amen. Or do you want me to continue? Mervin? Is he still there?
He's there. Mm-hmm.
Okay, chapter 6.
Hold on,
not
hold on. Yet. Oh, yeah, I'm here. I'm mute. I'm mute.
Okay.
Reverend, you passed with flying colors. That was a test. And I can tell you are A++ student because you went over and above. You went over and above the assignment that was given.
You know, because I was saying, do you want me to stop? Do you want me to continue? And you was on mute, and I didn't hear nothing, so I kept going. I'm sorry.
I never said stop, although I was on mute. And so you passed. I bet when they gave you an assignment, you not only did the assignment, but you did the next assignment, too. So you did really good. Thank you so much.
Hello. There you go.
And now we're going to begin at chapter number 6. Beware. And when we looked at this, we talked about when helping hurts. I think.
Yes.
Beware of practicing your own righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. For then they will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue and in the street, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. But again, when helping. Then we looked at prayers that pleases God. If we can get another reader to read the Lord's Prayer, verse number, what is that, 5 through 14 of chapter
Of 6, chapter 6?
Yes.
5 through 14.
Prayer, mm-hmm.
And that, what, oh, I'm sorry. Reverend Lil is also with us, and so is Brother Eric.
That's fine. Amen. God bless y'all.
Mm-hmm. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into a closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, am I doing this right? Use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. 9. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And if ye forgive them their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses.
Amen. Thank
15.
You. And last time we talked about fighting with the fast. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces that fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. Verse number 17. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father, who is in secret.
The Father who sees in secret will reward you, will reward you openly, will reward you publicly, will reward you before everybody, that which he has seen in secret. So now that brings us up to tonight. What is your treasure? What is your treasure? And I have outlined only verses 19, 20, to 29 for this discussion. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there mm-hmm. your heart will also be. What is your treasure? What is my treasure? Most of what we do and what we say or what we don't do or say are driven by a couple of factors. There are things we want to do, and there are things we want to say. And the second thing is there are things we feel we must do and say. I'll say that again. It may sound a little jumbled, but most of what we do and say are driven by a couple of factors. There are things we want to do, and there are things we feel we must do. I may not want to get out of bed every morning, but I realize I must. If I'm going to have a roof over my head, food on my table, clothes on my back, I may not want to, but I must. Again, most of what we do and say are driven by a couple of factors, things we want to do, things we want to say, and things we feel we must. I don't have any kids now, young kids now, but they're my grandkids. The parents discipline them. But discipline our children most often is a difficult thing to do. We may not want to do it, but if we expect them to grow into respectable adults that understands right and wrong, if we expect them to become good husbands and wives and fathers and mothers, there are some things we must do while we are training. We may not want to whip them. Do folk with young kids still whip them like we used to do back in the day? They folks don't whip anymore. Do they?
No.
We may not want
to
whip them.
Might be going to jail.
Go to jail sometimes we do that. I'm speaking from back in the day. We may not want to whip them, but sometimes we must.
Yeah.
We may not even want to tell them no, but sometimes we must. Scripture says if your brother or your sister is caught in a fault, we may not want to, but the scripture says we must go to them and restore them how? Restore them with gentleness.
Yeah.
So what is your treasure? What is your treasure? There are several ways we can begin to answer this question. Several ways we can begin to answer this question. How do we spend or use the finances that God blesses us with? And we just try to get somewhere. We jump in at any time. You're talking about how do we spend or use the finances that God has blessed us with? We're trying to zero in on how or where is your treasure.
So do you want the Bible side or you want what we do?
Well, we watch this right here. Open up our checkbook. What we want.
And 10% is supposed to first go to Christ, to our tithe and offering. That's the main part. Then all the rest goes, you know, where it needs to go. Mm-hmm. But the first part, the top mm-hmm. part, the cream of the crop should go to church first. So everybody
That's
else
correct.
Can jump in after that.
That's
so
correct.
Our time,
That's
treasure,
correct.
And our talent. So,
That's correct. But some or many may not do that.
Correct.
They may open the checkbook, and the first, second, third, fourth, all 25 of the checks may go somewhere, every place, except to the church. So we're trying to figure out or talk about what's my treasure, where is my treasure? And I see that there are several ways we can begin to answer this question. First way, check where the money trail. How do we spend or use our finances that God has given us? That's the first way we can begin to look at where our treasure is. Another way is our time. How do we use our time? Do we spend most of our time making ends meet? Or are we using our time for kingdom good? The question, what is my treasure? Is an important question. Because once we identify our treasure, once we identify our treasure, we also find there our heart. That's what the scripture says, right?
Well, yeah, well, it says where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. And so we need to look to figure out where the heart is, and then we'll know where the treasure is. And our heart should be on heavenly things. Our heart should be striving towards those heavenly things and, as you said, towards kingdom building. And that should be where our heart should be. Our heart should be in love with God. Our heart should be in love with Jesus. You know, and then if our heart is in love with the Lord, then we will definitely have a treasure that we're sending up in finances and in kingdom building. We're striving to do whatever it is God has called us to do on His program to build up the kingdom.
That's
you
right.
Know, with the
That's
heart,
right.
Rodney.
That's right. Thank you again. Thank you for that. Verse number 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So what we identify as our treasure, that's where our heart is going to be, right?
Right.
That thing that we are identifying as our treasure, the scripture says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's what my translation says. So that tells me that if I'm spending my money not as it should be spent, if I'm spending my time not as it should be spent, then I can identify the way that I'm spending my money and the way that I'm spending my time as my treasure. And where my treasure is, there my heart is going to be. Whatever I'm using my money for, whatever I'm using my time for, whatever you're using this or that for, that's where that can be called your treasure. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Y'all help me if it makes no sense. Help me if I'm confusing you. I thank you, Reverend Lil, for adding what you did. And if there are others who want to bring even more clarity, you can to this discussion.
And
Amen.
Also,
praise
your
the Lord.
Is like a passion, your passion, correct? No, you're fine. So where your heart is where your passion is. So that's where you're going to put a lot of your time and effort and energy. Am I correct?
And money.
That's right.
And money.
That's right. And so where your treasure is, in other words, that's going to be your passion. Where your treasure is your passion. Where your treasure is, that's where your passion is, and that's where your heart can be. Come on, Reverend Williams.
I was going to say that what you're devoted to, what you're committed to, what you're loyal to, I'll give you a good example. It could be my clothes, it could be my car. I spend all my time washing my car, cleaning it up, make sure the tires are shining, and I buy the fancy whatever to go on my car, and it's because I treasure my car. It's
more important to me than the kingdom of God, than the will of God, than the things of God. And so it becomes an idol. And so I believe that Jesus is teaching us that whatever we put before him, whatever we put before the kingdom, then those things can become idols if we're not careful, because what we end up doing is we end up devoting ourselves to it. It could be my money. It could be any material possession, anything that I've attained in this world. If I'm not careful, then I can make that become an idol, and I'm not focusing or doing the will of God, but I'm doing what is pretty much pleasing to me. But as you look at where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If you love God, I say it all the time. I say it on Facebook. I say it in the mall, everywhere I go, that I love the Lord more than I love living. And I mean it from the bottom of my heart. And that's why my life, my heart, everything about me is devoted to the kingdom of God, is devoted to helping somebody, whether it be feeding somebody, whether it be taking someone shopping, whatever I can do to be a service, because I'm a servant. And it's not just preaching and teaching and singing and praying for people, but my heart is completely, totally devoted and sold out for the Lord. He died for me, so I live for him. And so therefore, my treasure is all about him and all about the kingdom and advancing the kingdom and serving and helping someone else. I'm going to leave it right there. Bless the Lord. I get too happy here. Oh, glory.
That's good.
Well,
that's good. I like
that.
Reverend Carol Williams, I like that. He died for me, therefore I'm going to live for him. And you brought up two additional words. You brought up one additional word, I believe, and maybe Ms. Inez brought up the other one. Passion, what's our passion, and what are we devoted to? And those are two good words to help us understand where our treasure is. Go ahead, Reverend Carol McCullough.
I think I'm on mute.
No.
Can you hear me?
No, not anymore. Yeah, we can hear you now. Come on.
Well, what I wanted to say was, oftentimes we will hear people say things like, I can't afford to give my tenth and my offering. And I follow that up with, I can't afford to not give my tenth and offering.
Not yet. Never go.
And we will understand where our heart is when we do look at our checkbook. And this is something that Martha Anderson would share all the time. So when you look at your checkbook and you don't have a problem going and buying nails, you don't have a problem going and buying hair, you don't have a problem going and buying clothes, you don't have a problem going out to eat, but every time it comes time for you to give to the Lord, there's something in the way of you being able to give your tenth and your offering unto the Lord. This is how I understand the scripture.
That's it.
And
you identifying right now where the treasure is.
Right.
Identifying where the treasure is. Keep on.
You're going to either believe it and do it or not. See, the Lord does not need our money. The Lord needs our obedience.
It's the Lord.
And our lack of doing what we need to do places us in a bad way, I believe, with God, because you're showing that you're willing to try to do some things for the Lord, but not everything for the Lord. And all of us need to do the very best that we can with giving our tenth and our offering, as well as we are giving of our time and our talents and resources. Because the other part of that is that what comes into play is us questioning our trusting God. Do you trust God to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory?
That's
or do you trust yourself?
to supply your needs. And when we say things like, I can't afford to give, you can't afford not to give. Because
things
will come in your way that will keep you from giving, but it becomes a faith test. And I don't know about those of you who are on the line, but I know I get a bad feeling when I don't give my tithes and my offering. And because I'm not comfortable, because I am doing what Scripture says, I'm robbing God.
Well, you rob God, and tithes and offering.
And so then I tell people, too, when it comes to your having to give things and do things in the church, and people are asking for an offering, well, that is the tenth in the offering that the Lord asked us to come and bring. So anything that when a church creates budgetary items for its congregations, we are looking at that. We should be able to look at it from a different perspective and place whatever you're at being asked to give in the category of the offering as well as the tenth. You give your tenth to your ministry that you serve out of, but then when you go to another ministry or give to somebody else, you may be doing it differently. And just put that in the category of the offering. And then we will begin to feel better about what it is that we're doing.
Amen. Amen. That's good, Reverend. And somebody need to run, tell that. Tell somebody when they say, I can't afford. And I can't afford to tithe. Well, we need to tell them, well, you can't afford not to. Can't afford not to.
Right. That's
good point.
I like that.
Very, very good.
Spin that on them.
Yeah, very, very good. Good point. Well, let's
not only that, you can't afford not to use your gift.
That's right.
You cannot afford not to love him who loved you first, okay? Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
He calls us to love him with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and strength. And
that's
when
right.
you love him such as he acts or command or requires that you do so, it reflects where your heart really is, and you won't think about your own personal agenda. I get $40.20 a month. That's my income. But I'll sell anything I have in my house, my closet. It does not matter. And I trust God to provide. And God has provided through that resource of selling my stuff. I don't care about stuff because, you know, heaven and earth is going to pass away. And this
shall
stuff
away,
when I'm leaving
is
going to be here. Go to the thrift store somewhere. But anyway, where that heart is, where your heart is, when you truly love God with all of your heart, with everything that's in you, and you love him because he loved you first, he gave his son for you, and you want to please him, whether it's your finances, whether it's your talent, whether it's your time helping somebody else, it doesn't matter. You devote it all to the master, and that will demonstrate to anybody better than what I say out of my mouth. It would demonstrate that I am, my heart, my devotion, my treasure is in what the master say according to his word, because that's the life that I live and that's the choice that I make and those are the things that I do. So that heart tells it all. It speaks for you when you don't open your mouth, because what's in the heart, it comes out. It shows up one way or the other. Like, the Lord. Hallelujah.
Regardless of what
you're
looking at or not.
You started out by saying, we need to use our talent as well. I think that's what you said. And we want to extend that just a little bit. Do we believe if you don't use those talents, you may lose them. Whatever the Lord has given you for the glory and the upbuilding of the kingdom, if we don't use those things, the Lord might take them away. And we look up one day and we don't have them.
Lord help us.
So it is very important to use the gifts and the talent that the Lord has given us, and to perfect them and to grow them. Because you don't want to look up one day and we don't have what we once had in the Lord for lack of using it. I believe that God would disagree with
him. And we want to make sure we're clear when we're saying whatever happens is not punitive for you. You have just allowed your own blessings to be cut off. You are not, the Lord is not penalizing us, but we're just allowing our own blessings to be what? Cut off.
That's right. Mm. That's right. I do agree with that. I do agree with that. Verse 19, do not lay up treasures for yourself. Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth. Verse 19 tells us what not to do. What not to do. I'm just going to throw this in. There are two ways of sinning. There are two ways to sin, by commission and by omission. You sin, we sin by both of those ways, right? Now let's dig into, some translations say lay up, some say store up. Y'all, we're going to be laying up and storing up somewhere. We're either going to be laying and storing up our treasures on earth, or we're going to be doing it in heaven. But they're going to be being stored up someplace. We can only, and then the other thing I want to mention before we get into a little discussion, we can only lay up and store up for ourselves. I can't store up no treasure. That's just how it is. I can't store, because it says, do not lay up for yourself. That's all, I got, this is about us. I can't lay up or store up no treasures for young ladies. She got to lay up, store up her own stuff. Nobody can lay up or store up any treasures for me. Do not lay up or store up, as some translations might say, for yourself treasures on earth. Again, they're going to go somewhere. What are we doing going to go somewhere? We building our treasures here on earth, or we building, sending our treasures and building treasures in heaven. Because none of us have a heaven or hell.
Right.
None of
That's
us.
Right.
Treasures on That's earth right. are temporary things. Can I get somebody to agree? Treasures on
That's
earth
right.
that we build up are temporary things. That's just stuff. Anybody on the line have heard it said, we've never seen a U-Haul connected to a hearse. Never seen a U-Haul go down in the grave with the body. We've never seen that. They done store up all these treasures on earth. That's going to pass away. That folk will argue over. You know, that would be a crying shame if we store up so much stuff on earth and hadn't made any progress and storing up anything in heaven. And at the end of our lives, all we have to show is what we did here on earth. It was a crime and a shame. We need treasures on earth, man. Don't get it twisted. We need treasures on earth. We just can't make them our Lord. When we say, If she had made her car, I was thinking about that same thing. If I get up, and I don't have this problem, but if I get up every Sunday morning and I go to the car wash, and I just wash, I clean, I vacuum, I wax, I make sure that car is perfect. Every Sunday morning, right about church time, what can be said that car, as the Reverend has already said, has become a treasure, and that's where my heart is going to be, because I'm putting so much attention to that car. Again, we need stuff. We need treasures. We need stuff on earth. We just can't make them our Lord. After
can't put them
in the perspective.
Well, explain
that's
what's
right.
making
Amen.
It your Lord.
Well, I just gave one example of the car. It's 11 o'clock Sunday morning. Instead of me getting up and going to church, I drive down to the local car wash, and I got all my supplies. It's going to take me about the same time as church to get it like I want to have it. I see people going to church while I'm getting there, while I'm driving there, and I see people leaving church when I'm getting ready to leave, because I spent that same amount of time on my tires, waxing it, dad cared for other children, it could be said that that automobile and my care of it can become a treasure.
My God.
My treasure. And my God, that's what my heart's going to be. That's what my heart's going to be. That's just one example. You know, you can be thousands of examples of this. You know, anything you want to put there, anything that you're putting before God, you can use in this example.
Wow.
In other words, what's the most importance to you? What is the most that's important to you? What takes your time, captivates your mind, your thinking, your actions, your attitudes, your values, whatever, your purposes, your thinking, whatever it is that you put as the most important, that's what your heart is going to go after. That's what your heart is going to desire. I'm going to say smoke. I don't know why I'm saying smoke, but just like people who smoke. Well, they wake up in the morning. They got to have their smoke. They don't pray. They have to have their coffee. They have to have these things that they need in the afternoon. Maybe they eat and they have to have that cigarette. And you know, and if they go outside, they got to have that cigarette. It's like I just got to have that. That's where my heart is. It becomes my my idol. It can become my God, because what I do is I got to have that. I got to do that. I got to be that. I got to go that. It's all I got to. I got to. And I ain't thinking about laying before God, asking for deliverance. I ain't thinking about praying for no one else. I ain't thinking about seeking God's face. I ain't thinking about trying to help nobody that's in need of help. They come and ask, and I ain't got time, because I'm so caught up and I'm so consumed with what is important to me, what my agenda is. And so that heart, we can't throw that heart. It's the heart. What's in your heart? What really, really is in your heart? If you love God with all your heart, mind, if you love him like he says for you to love him, hallelujah, according to the scripture, if you just love him, then your heart is going to be devoted, committed, passionate, faithful to what you read, that we read in the word of God, and get an understanding. That's what we're going to be striving for and living for, going for, because we want our doings, our givings, our actions, talent, whatever we do, we want God to be glorified with it all. Yeah. So where my heart is, that's going to convey where my treasures are, shall I say, what's important to me, what's my priority. It's going to convey where my heart and my desires are.
That's right. That's right. Because you got to look at that word treasure. You know, the word in itself means something. It doesn't mean something minute. Treasures, when you think of treasure, you think of wonderful things. You think of lofty things. You think of things that's important. So that's why that word is used. Where the things that are important to you, where the things that mean the most to you, there your heart will be. Now watch this. Something is going to happen. Two things will happen to treasures on earth. They're going to wear out. I'm not making this up. Do not build treasures. Do not lay up or store up treasures for moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. So we know a couple of things can, probably will happen to treasures that are stored up on earth. They're gonna wear out. They're gonna rust up. Moth gonna get hold to them, and thieves have an opportunity to break in.
That's right.
I don't know if anybody have been broken into and had things taken from you.
Yep.
Certainly not a good feeling. The feeling of violation.
Not pretty.
Now, you done worked and put so much emphasis on this thing, and you had it last night and woke up this morning and it's gone. You're temporal. You're short-lasting. But
Go ahead, we should put our focus on things, and it doesn't feel good to have anything taken away from us. But when we prioritize the way that the Lord has trusted us as stewards over what it is that we have, we would handle things a lot differently. Because even when they break in and they steal, when I have a better understanding of my stuff just being temporary, this is not anything that I have permanent, because this is not my home. I'm just here. I'm passing through whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It still doesn't feel good, but I think when we place too much emphasis on the things we have, the clothes we have, the cars we have, the homes we have, then that's when it tends to hit us harder.
That's true.
When they do break mm-hmm. in and steal. So
the
Lord has given us so much that we should be able to prioritize and handle things differently. But we live like the world.
Yeah.
Who don't know Christ with how we handle our own things and possessions.
Yeah. Yeah. So I heard you say that I'm going to say this. I'm going to say it wrong. But that Dooney Burke purse a lot of you women carry on your arms. I think I'm hearing you, Reverend Carolyn, say, if you look at that as just another purse, instead of, wow, I got a Dooney Burke. This is a bad purse. Folk look at your purse and say, ooh, that's a nice. And you become to look at that Dooney Burke as more than it really is.
Hmm.
And when somebody break in and steal it, your hurt is going to be bigger than if you just saw it as another purse.
I kind of heard you say that.
Just about what kind of emphasis weight we put it in.
That's
this stuff.
Exactly.
And did I pronounce that right? Is it a Dooney Burke?
Mm-hmm. Dooney Burke.
Mm-hmm.
You got Gucci, then you got Tory Burch. You got all kinds. Then you have
I'm learning also how to not put too much special emphasis on relationships with one another.
Yes.
Because we have to remember that our God is a jealous God.
Yeah.
And
amen.
Place our spouses, our children, our jobs, our homes, everything in high esteem, I believe we're just setting ourselves up.
Anything.
Amen.
Anything. Because wherever you put it, again, that's going to be your treasure. Put your treasure in your spouse. Put your treasure in your children. And again, where your treasure is, there your heart will be.
Hmm.
You can't put nothing before God. That thou shalt have no
nothing.
Other God.
That's
no
a
other
word.
God
yeah.
before him. Yeah. That means no other, anything that we try to make our God, and if we're not careful, goes back to that. It's that heart thing. That's the emphasis.
That's right.
That heart. Yeah. It can mess us up, and so we have to constantly stay close to God and stay prayerful and stay in the word of God so that our heart does not lead us away from God and the things of God. So it's so important, that heart, is to make sure that heart stay connected to the master, and then we will be about the master's business. You know, we won't let no other, whether we attain and gain, you know, riches and jewels and finest cars and finest purses and all this stuff. I'm going to say this because y'all were talking about that Dooney Burke. I ain't never had a Dooney Burke, never had a coach, never had a nothing. Hallelujah. If you can get it, but don't let it become your treasure. Don't let it become that possession.
That's right.
You cannot part with where my heart is into my purses. I know people who got 40 and 50 coaches, and they live for coaches. biblical, but that's what their treasure, that's what their heart is. They live to get the newest coat. They live to get the newest toonie. They live to get the matching shoes and the matching all that accessory, but they're not living to be connected to the master, to stay in the word, to stay prayerful, to be helping somebody, be a servant of God, using their time, talent, and their gift and find it. They're not willing to do all that. So it shows where their treasures is. It shows where their heart is. Because when your heart is connected to the master and you know the master's will and the master's word, then that becomes your treasure. That becomes what your possession is to do the will of God.
And that's where your heart is.
Amen.
Yeah. Some folks go buy a new iPhone. Go ahead, bro. I was just going to say, some folks buy a new iPhone every time one come out. You know, they're so into the telephone. But if you ain't
careful, we are supposed to be good stewards over everything that the Lord has given us. And that's not being a good steward, in my opinion.
Amen.
No, it's not.
You're a real good steward, Reverend Carol, over your phone. I've been telling her she needs another one for months. But you are a real good steward over that one. It's kind of raggedy. It's kind of raggedy, but I guess it's still doing what you want it to do. Amen. You remember folk used to say, I'm sending up timber. I'm sending up timber.
That's a song.
I'm building a house.
Timber every day.
Not made by hands. And part of that is scripture. Folks say that. I'm just sending up some timber. And they would be speaking in response to doing the will of God. I'm sending up timber. Because I want a house. Up there in heaven, a house not made by hand.
By man's hand.
And again, I'm repeating myself, but I can't send up no timber for nobody else. And nobody can't send none up for me. I can't build a house in heaven for you. You can't build a house in heaven for me. We got to do our own work. Watch this. Treasures in heaven. I hear Reverend Carol, but I don't know if she's talking on mute, talking and thinks she's being heard. But treasures in heaven are lasting things. You remember we said treasures on earth are what? Temporary. But the treasures that we send up to heaven are lasting things.
Yeah.
One thing about treasures in heaven is that they're everlasting. Ask us again, where is your treasure? If we want to find our treasure, and we can look at it in the reverse, and I think we've been talking about that all night as well. If we want to find, Reverend Lil brought it out in the beginning, if we want to find our treasure, we need to begin to search our heart.
Search your heart.
And we're going to find that thing we devoted to. We're going to find that thing we're passionate about. We're going to find that thing we're spending our time, money, effort. Search our heart. And in the reverse, we know that the text says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. But if we look at our heart, I believe that can work in the reverse. We're going to find out what, if we search our hearts, we're going to find out what means the most to us. What things do our heart lead us to do? What things do our heart lead us to say? God's heart is easy to find. Oh, she fussing at, I think she fussing at the grandbaby. I know one thing, she going off. I thought she was thinking she was on, you know, unmuted and just kind of preaching. I don't hear her.
Who are you talking about, me?
That's why. No, Reverend Carol McCullough.
Because
she got on mute, and I was just wondering whether she was speaking and didn't realize she was on mute. I understand what she's doing now. Don, she's fussing at the grand boy.
Right, he around there tearing up the stuff off of the door. Those stoppers. He's tearing those stuff off of the door.
I know. My, my, my.
Lord,
and I can't
be
trying to put the ones back on we need to put on. And he tearing more off.
He taking more. He making me have more work. So, but anyhow.
Giving you something to do, right?
I'll do double time. I'm going to come to the rescue for him and make sure I get them back on. So that
now you ready to go over there, huh?
That's funny.
He making more work for me.
You're the having grandkids, Rev Rodney.
That is. Ever see the little girl in here, so he probably calls himself bored. And you know, the boy, the boy's gonna get into something when they, when they think that they're. Most time it's not that good, but they're gonna get into something.
Let him
tear
stuff
over
there.
Don't come tear
stuff at mine.
Yeah. Uh oh. So we have we've completed y'all this lesson. We've completed this lesson now. I should tell you next time. Let's want to go and get into some of it now. You know, a verse that we always 6 and 24. No one can serve two masters. So either you will hate one and love the other.
Love the other.
Here go that word again. It's in my translation. Or he will be devoted. You heard that already tonight. One and despise the other. You know, we cannot serve God and money. But if the truth be told, you can't serve God and nothing. You know, this text is referencing money. But it expands to, it expands to everything, as Reverend Williams just said. Because you can't put nothing in front of God. You can't serve God and nothing. Whatever you put in there instead of mammon, whatever you put in there instead of money, it's going to still work. It's going to still fit.
Yeah.
So we were going to talk about who are we serving? Who are we serving? We can close out, or we can try to get into some of the. I don't know that we have finished it. So either way, I don't know what the majority. But that's our lesson for tonight. Or if there's some others who want to add something about where's our treasure. But next time, if we don't get into tonight, that's where we're going to be. Matthew 6:24. Who are we serving?
We can start if you want to. It's totally up to you.
You can start.
Because my
let's start.
My system died, so I don't know. I don't have too much anything. I'm just going in the dark.
Let's start. Matthew 6. Well, let's just read all that. And read up to 24. We start at 21. Verse number 22. The eye is the lamp of the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? This is what we want to focus our time on. Again, no one can serve two masters, so either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Some questions call for an opinionated answer. Is it cold outside? Some people might think it's cold. Some people might not think it's cold. That's an opinionated answer.
Mm-hmm.
Is the baby cute? Some people look at a baby and say, that's the cutest baby I've ever seen. Then other people might look at a baby and have no comment. How does this taste? Just because it tastes good to me, it may not taste good to you. So some questions call for an opinionated answer. Other questions have factual answers. How old are you?
Well,
that's a fact. That's a fact. That's not your opinion, how old are you. Where were you born? That's a fact. It can't be over opinion. You can't, where you born is not an opinionated question. Are you married? That's a fact. Although some people might be mad after they're not, that still don't make them not mad. Are you mad? That's a factual question. So the question that we are asking, now is, who are we serving? This question, Brother Keller Wheaton, can have a factual answer. Because we know that it can have a factual answer based on two things. God's word. God's word says no one can serve two masters. Is that not a fact? God's word says no one can serve two masters. Also, this can be based on our lives, the manner in which we live our lives. Now, the enemy sometimes causes us to make this an opinionated question. Let me go back to the question. Who are we serving? The enemy sometimes causes us to make this an opinionated question, and it's really not. Causes us to become confused as to who are we serving, depending upon which day it is. If it's Sunday, and you ask me, while I'm caught up in a high praise, I'm going to give you one answer. I tell you, the enemy will have us so confused that we don't know who we serve. If you ask me on Monday when I'm caught up in raising hell, I'm going to give you another answer. But y'all, I'm reminded of Joshua. Joshua was one of the spies sent out to spy out the land. Well, Moses, he was Moses' personal aide for 40 years. He was an eyewitness to the plague and all of that which happened during the Exodus from Egypt. God appointed him. And once they got to the promised land, they gathered all of the elders, and they threw away all of those idol gods. They threw all out, but Joshua made a statement. He says, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, you choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, y'all heard it before, we will serve. Mm-hmm. We will serve the Lord. And this may sound like we're preaching to the choir, but the question is asked again, who are we serving? Who are we serving? A question that each of us must answer. And we can't answer this question based only on our presence in this Bible study tonight. We can't answer based on the fact that we're online, that we're on this podcast, that we're on this video, bro. We can't answer based on that. Because we might be on this line, and our mind might be somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So, Reverend Leo, why is this question so important? Why is this question so important? Who are we serving? Why is it so important? God can't use us until we answer it. I believe that, too. We really can't be effective for God until we answer the question, who are we really serving? And the answer is, I'm serving my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. If we're not sure about who we're serving, it's going to be difficult for the Lord to use us. Until we declare come hell or high water, as I heard Reverend say tonight, I live for him, I die for him. Once we commit and stand on our promise to serve God, God will give us our marching orders. Oftentimes the reason for the lack of clarity in what we want God to do is because God knows we have not made up our minds and who are we serving. Let me repeat that again. Oftentimes the reason for lack of clarity, now some people be like, I just really don't know what I'm called to do, and I'm still seeking the Lord to do this, to do that. Oftentimes, the reason for our lack of clarity in what God wants us to do is because God knows we have not clearly made up our minds to what we say. To get our minds made up, as Joshua, then our life will follow. Verse 24 says, no one. No one includes who? All of us.
Anybody.
No one. That includes everybody. That includes all of us. It doesn't matter how good of an actor we are. It doesn't matter how cunning we are. It doesn't matter how slick we are. It doesn't matter how good of a con person somebody is. It's that no one. All those things I just mentioned only work on you. Only work on us. None of it works for God. Can't con God. You ain't slicker than God. You can't act before God. because God knows all. God sees all. No one can serve. No one can serve. How do we define our service? Here we go. We become devoted to. We can define our service in this way. It's something we become devoted to. Our service is based on our attitude. Now enter into God's court. Do we enter into God's court with praises and thanksgiving? Or do we just enter? Do we enter into God's courts with praises and thanksgiving, or do we just enter?
Yes. With praises and thanksgiving.
There you go. Or do we just walk in with any old attitude?
Praise and thanksgiving.
Do we ask God to create us a clean heart? Or do we just bring our dirty heart to worship?
Clean heart.
Do we ask God to create in us a clean heart? Or do we just bring the heart in the situation that it is?
Clean heart.
Will our attitude be? What will our attitude be if God tells us to sell everything we have?
That really makes me mad.
And give to the poor. What will be our attitude if God tells us to sell everything we have and give to the poor? Talk about that for a moment. You know, if somebody hears from the Lord says, listen, I really need you to sell everything you have and give to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
If God tells you that, you know God still going to provide. God still is going to provide. If you sell it and give it away or whatever the deal is, God still going to provide. And somebody might be thinking, well, how am I going to make it, Lord? How am I going to make it if you asking me to do this? Well, if it's really the Lord asking you to do it, you will never miss a beat.
Right.
Never miss a beat. You'll never miss a beat. And whatever we lost, in the sale or the giveaway or however we parted with it, you'll get it back over
and
over again. Our service is based on our time. Do we use the time that God has given us to tell others about Jesus Christ? Do we try to be in worship? Do we try to be in prayer meeting? Our service is based on our talent and our spiritual gifts. The preacher already said it. We don't use it. He said, well, she said that we need to be using our talents and our spiritual gifts. And then I added, if you don't use them, possibly you can lose them.
Yeah,
so Carolyn added, not as a punishment from God, but as something that we called upon ourselves, something that we called upon ourselves. God ain't punishing us because He called me to be a preacher, and I choose not to preach. And he removed from me that gift. God has not punished me. It's something that I caused upon myself. We who are serving, who are we serving when God has given us a gift, and we are not using it for the Lord? God has given us a gift, and we are not using it for the Lord. Our service is based on our giving. Our service is based on our giving of our resources. Ready? Brother Carolyn already spoke on that. Folks, I can't afford the tithe. And we need to start telling you can't afford not to.
That's right.
It's important. It's important to God that we give. Everybody remember the story of the little lady in church who gave out of her lack in the Bible. Everybody else was giving out of their abundance. Everybody else was giving out of what they had. Everybody else was giving out of the overflow. But this one, they don't call her old, they call her wealth. She came up and gave out of her lap. Out of the little that she had, she gave. Obedience, faith, love. Can't serve two masters. We have two choices.
My Lord.
We have two choices. God.
My Lord.
Or Satan. Don't let nobody convince you that there's a middle ground. There's
my
a perfect choice.
Uh-uh.
There's a holding place. There's a place where you can go and get it together once you die. No, you
yeah.
cannot believe that. It's only one or the other. Heaven or hell? God or Satan. If you're not for me, then
you're against me.
Either for me or you're against me. We must be moving up or down, forward or backward. Well, some smart aleck might say, well, I can be standing still. Watch this. We got to be either moving up or down, for God, for sake, backwards, forward, for heaven, for earth.
Uh-huh.
Some smart aleck might say, well, I can be standing still, standing in one place. Well, let me tell you what the Bible says about that. That's called complacency, mediocrity. And God describes it this way. If you are neither hot nor cold, but you're lukewarm, that's what standing in one place means. That's not moving forward. I'm not moving forward, and I'm not moving back. I'm not for God. I'm not for God, and I'm not against God. The Bible explains it like this. If you are neither hot or cold, then you're lukewarm.
That's right.
God
in
says
between.
If you're lukewarm, you present. The Bible doesn't say it like this, but this is what it means. If you're lukewarm, then you are presenting a bad taste in my mouth. And if you present a bad taste in my mouth, I'm gonna have to get that bad taste out of my mouth.
There you are.
If you're standing in one spot, if you're not for God, and you're still talking about who are you serving? Serving two masters. Praising God on Sunday. Passing those who need help on Monday. Serving two masters. Saying one thing, but doing another. Serving two masters means selfishly using our time, our talent, and our resources for us and not God. Here's why we can't serve two masters. Now, we can't have equal loyalty. We can't have equal loyalty to both. We're going to love one, and we're going to hate the other. We're going to be devoted to one, and we're going to despise the other. And watch this, y'all. These two descriptions are to the extreme, one way or the other. You're going to love God. You're going to love one of the masters and hate the other. Can't serve two masters. You're going to love one and hate the other. Look at that extreme. You're going to be devoted to one or you're going to despise one. Look at that. You're going to be devoted to one or you're going to despise one. Look at the distance. Look at the distance of these two things. These descriptions are to the extreme. And I believe that should clearly show us the distance between God and Satan. You see how clear it is when it says you be devoted to one and you despise the other. I believe that show us clearly the distance between God and Satan. And again, it's to show us that there's no middle ground. Can't be for me and against me at the same time. I don't want to see the whole lesson.
You know, I was looking at this. I'm just kind of. Are you there? Oh, you want to say something?
What you do?
Yeah, I was looking at this 22 and 23, and it just kind of took me away there because you know we ended up at 21 where your treasure is there, your heart is. Then he goes to talk about. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if the light be the light. Therefore, he said, if therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. And I couldn't go any further. And I was like, okay, Lord, okay. And so just kind of doing some looking at this and looking at the interpretation in it, and it's saying that when we have a single eye, that means staying focused on on the treasure, focusing on where our heart is, focusing on the things of God and not allowing other things to become, or shall I say, not allowing our possessions to be in control of us. And so he's saying to have that single eye, to have that eye, then you're going to do the right thing. You're going to be generous in giving. You're going to be generous in helping. You're going to be generous in using what God has blessed you with. And then your whole the whole body, whether it's your body or the body of Christ, shall be full of light. And we know that Jesus is the light, and everything about him shines, and it's good. And so it just encourages me, hopefully us, that when we look at this this whole text, which is talking about our treasures in heaven, we can't have an evil eye because we're in darkness. We can't see what's right. We ain't going to try to do what's right. We're going to be stingy with whatever we have, and we ain't going to, you know, we're not going to use what we have to advance the kingdom. But when we have a single eye, single mind, focusing on the things of God, the will of God, making our heart be connected with God and the things of God, then we are full of light. Hallelujah. You know, we not only walk in the light, but we are full of light. We're full of righteousness. We're full of goodness. We're full of sharing and helping others. But if our eye is evil, then we're full of darkness. We ain't gonna never make the right decision. We ain't gonna be generous in giving. We ain't gonna be helping nobody. It's gonna be all about us, you know. And that's why he says you're either one or the other. You know, you can't serve two masters.
That's
you
right.
can't serve
that's
money
right.
and God, and you can't serve the treasures and God. You can't serve people
right.
and God. You gotta make up your mind which one, because you can't. You can't serve both of them. You got to let go of one, hold on to one, love the other, and vice versa. So this just challenges me even all the more to make sure that I know and stay connected in the Lord, with the Lord, and make sure that whatever God blesses me with, it is to be used to advance the kingdom of God and not to make these my possessions that I'm holding on to, and they're so more important to me, and I can't see my sister down the street need some help or need some food or to help with her children, so I'm so focused to on my own personal life and my own personal agenda till I can't help somebody else, or I'm stingy, but I want to make sure that, hey, I'm going to love the master,
Lord.
Hold on to the master, and hate everything else, and let go of everything else. Hallelujah.
My. See the Lord.
Amen.
See the Lord work.
Amen.
See the Lord work. Because I stopped at verse number 21, and my discussion picked back up at verse number 24. I didn't say a whole lot about verse number 22 and verse number 23, but the Lord used this preacher to come in and bridge the gap, to come in and add some comments about those two verses. Because I didn't have anything for those two verses. I went right on to verse number 24. So I thank you, God, and I thank you, Reverend, that you felt a need to say something about those two verses. And we appreciate what you said. And that has added a lot, both our lessons. That has bridged the gap. In other words, who else y'all know bridged the gap? I believe Jesus bridged the gap. Jesus bridged the gap between us and the Father. And so what has happened is the gap has been bridged. The gap has been bridged from verse number 21 and verse number. I dropped the phone. The gap has been bridged from verse number 21.
A thought just came to me. When we are generous, whether it be with our time, finances, because this is talking about your treasures, okay? The treasures in heaven. This is where we have to make sure that whatever we do, that it's laid up in heaven. We want God to be glorified. But just thinking about that when we are generous in our time and generous with our talents and generous with our finances, then we are healthy. We are physically healthy. We are spiritually healthy. Hallelujah. But when we're not generous, when we're not, give you a good example. I ain't got time to go to Bible study. I ain't got time to go to prayer meeting. I ain't got time. I can't be giving my tithes, girl. I got to get my nails done. I'm 60. I'll be 63 in July. I ain't never had my nails done. I ain't never had nobody do my. Because these things are just temporal, and it's a trick of the devil where he wants to caught up in the world and what world. I don't knock it. I don't knock it. If someone want to do it, but just don't make that your treasure. Where I just got to get my nails. Some people, they got to do it every week. They got to go get the hair done. Got to go get the nails done. Got to go get pedicure, manicure. They got to do all eyelashes. They got to get it done. Hair weave. Whatever. They got to get it done every week. They got to be on the top of the chart with the looks and the fashions and so forth. And that's how the enemy sets us up to make those things our God, because we're not committed to being at Sunday school and Bible study and prayer meeting and praying for one another and somebody call and say, hey, I need you to pray for me. Girl, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. When you get off the phone, you ain't thinking about praying. You're going on and doing something else. But the whole bottom line is that when we're generous in what God has blessed us with for the kingdom of God, we are a healthy people. We don't lack nothing. But if we become stingy, then we become unhealthy. All kind of things go wrong. I'm a living witness. All kind of things go wrong when you're stingy and you don't give to God what God so rightfully asks of you and deserve. Not even if he don't ask, he deserved the glory. Hallelujah. He deserved the praise. He deserved my tithe. Yeah. He deserved my offering. He deserved everything because he gave everything. And so I want to be healthy by honoring God, by making sure that my treasures, my possession is in God and not in the things of this world.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Where is your treasure?
What do you say about those of us who knows the right thing to do but don't do it?
You asking me a question?
Yes, ma'am.
If I can almost say it like this. James said real, real well. I think James 4:17. I think that's what I see out my window, okay? But I think it says for us to know the right thing to do and not do it, it is a sin. Who wants to sin against the Almighty God? Who wants to do anything that, as a child of God, who wants to do anything that is displeasing to God? When we know the right thing to do, we do it. If we don't do it, we're saying, God, I know what it said, but I ain't going to do it. Well, Hebrews 10:31, it is a fearful thing to fall in God's hand. God is gracious. God is merciful. God is kind, just. But God has a righteous judgment that he is not to be played with. You don't want to fall in his hand when you know what he requires of you. You read it in the Word. You've got revelation. When we read it in the Word, got revelation, understanding through the teaching and the preaching, whoever we're sitting under, and we know what God requires of us, it's best that we do it. It's best that we do it.
That's the best way to answer. The question was great, Reverend Carolyn McCullough, and the answer was great, Reverend Carolyn Williams, because you didn't give your opinion. She asked the question, and you said what the Scripture says, what God says.
That's right.
And so that was the best. That was a wonderful question, and the answer was the answer from the Bible. So folks, sometimes
the Word of God is the standard by every Christian to live by. We have to live by the Word of God. Our opinion don't matter, but the Word of God is truth, and And God calls us as his children to live by the truth, to stand on the truth, to know the truth. Hallelujah. It makes us free. The word of God is just the answer, period. It's the answer. And his word is so, oh, bless his name. Hallelujah. I'm going to leave it alone. Glory to God.
That's good.
Amen.
Woo, master.
You mentioned well.
What you think?
Very explain to people just what she explained. Because
where's your treasure? Amen. I can hardly hear you. Amen. Well, we have done.
I would say that you have new converts that need to see just what she's saying.
Yes.
And it's one thing to know the difference, but do something totally different, and other people are watching us.
That adds another dimension to it. But clearly, she has explained the word says is sin. So I believe it goes even further, Reverend Carolyn, when you were saying what you say, because the word also speaks about being careful not by making people stumble, and so that's the whole extra dimension to the answer that Reverend Carolyn Williams gave. Now, when your question includes others, when it's just you know what to do and you don't do it, that's sin. The preacher said, but if you know what to do and others are observing, then you may cause others to stumble, and we know what the Bible says about that.
Right, Romans 14, don't be ignorant.
There's a lot
Amen.
There. That was good. So the next title is going to be First Things First, Matthew 6, 25-34. First Things First. Then that's going
to
take us all the way out of chapter 25-34. First things first. Y'all know that. We keep first the kingdom. That's what we're going to be messing around with. And then we're going to make it into chapter 7 after that. And we'll go through the first five verses of chapter 7, Matthew chapter 7. And we'll talk about two jacked up to judge. Two jacked up to judge. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. So that's the outline for the next month, since we only come in another week.
Okay.
First things first, and two jacked up to judge.
My Jesus. Oh, man.
All right, let me say a word of prayer, and we can do whatever needs to be done following that. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of another day. We thank you for the blessings of another Bible study. We thank you for the blessings, oh God, for people who have gathered to study your word. So, God, we thank you for all that you have done, and I need to be clear about that. You have done it all, oh God, and even whatever you allow us to do, you still have done it. You have done it through us, oh God. So we do recognize and honor you for who you are. You're God. You're God all by yourself. We ask forgiveness of every sin, oh God. We pray that you reach on the inside and continue to clean us up. Oh, how we thank you for this perfect, blessed opportunity to study your word. And now we pray, oh God, that has been said by many already tonight, that your word go places where we'll be able to use it, oh God, that your word go places in us that we'll be able to tell others about your goodness, your grace, and for your mercy. Lord, we always pray for this podcast. We pray for this iMeds, and we pray for all of the hands who move the buttons,
all of
the hands who turn the knobs, all of the hands who punch the computer, all of the hands, oh God, that do the work to make this possible. All we do is dial a number, oh God, so we thank you, but we know it takes more than that. It takes people doing things in the background. So we pray that you continue to bless all of us, especially God, continue to bless her life, her business, oh God, her family. Continue to allow her to continue to do well, even though sometimes it may seem like, oh God, she might be spinning her wheels. I pray that you would give her your peace, your presence, that she know without a shadow of a doubt that she's doing all that you call us to do. Bless the ministry of Reverend Carolyn Williams. Pray, God, that you continue to lift her up, bless her, and use her to your glory. Bless the ministry of Reverend Carolyn McCullough. Continue to bless and use her, oh God. Bless the ministry of Reverend Lil Broderick. Continue to lift her up and use her to your glory. Bless the ministry of Reverend Eric Broderick.
Thank
continue to lift him up and use him to your glory.
bless the ministry of Reverend Biden McCullough. Continue, oh God, to lift me up and use me to your glory. Bless the ministry.
Yes.
The Eileen Whitney, oh God. Continue to lift her up and use her to your glory. Every other partner to spread the word ministry. Every member of, if Reverend Carolyn Williams is pastor or whatever the case might be, oh God, lift all of us up that we might be able to continue to serve you and to do your will. Oh, how we love you. Oh, how we thank you.
Yes,
oh, how
ma'am.
We give you all the for you are so worthy.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 Now, I don't know, do you want to have call the discipleship or are you just good for prayer?
I'll let Reverend Carol and Reverend Williams one can do it. Just feel that.
Okay.
Or Reverend Broadway. So everybody online preaches, anybody, y'all. Help me out. Somebody.
Right, right. Have all the everybody's a preacher except for me.
Nice. She asked if somebody wants to do a call.
Don't lie.
Amen.
Don't everybody jump in at once.
Father, we thank you. Oh, Lord God, we thank you for this lesson today. And dear God, if there's anyone that is on the line that does not know our Master, Lord and Savior Jesus, in the pardon of their sin, this is a great time to get to know the man who, hallelujah, who died for your sins. All you have to do is confess him as Romans 10 and 9 says, confess him with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and thou shalt be saved. Hallelujah. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation and with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. So if there's anyone on the line that wants to make Jesus Christ the Lord of their lives, you can repent of your sins and Lord, forgive me of every one of my sins. Cleanse my heart. Come into my life. I make you the Lord of my life. I'll live for you.
Yes,
I'll study
yes.
your word. I'll make sure that you alone am my servant and not my possessions. Hallelujah. That I may spend eternity with you one day when you come back. So if there's anyone that has spoken those words and asked God into their heart, I say welcome to the greatest family that you can ever be a part of, and that is the family of God. For the word of God says the angel in heaven rejoices over one sinner that come to repentance. So God bless you and welcome to the family. Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Again.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Thank you. And thank you, each and every one of you, for joining us for this Wednesday night Bible study. You can listen to any episode on demand of Let's Do It Radio down on the homepage at doitallinthemall.com. That's doitallinthemall.com. And you go to the radio icon on the right-hand side and go down and click on it. And you can go to any episode on demand. If you want to rehear what we spoke about tonight or want to preview what we talked about before in previous Bible studies, just go to that radio icon, click on it, and then you can go skip every 2 weeks and look for the Bible study or any episode that we've had throughout, ever since day one. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And for the announcements this evening, first I want to give the condolences for one of our people who used to be on Blog Talk Radio, that's Sharon Curry. She passed away on Saturday morning from a heart attack. She was on some of the shows, so yes, Sharon Curry. She was with Janet on some evenings, so Janet Schwartz on Keeping History Alive. So her service is on Saturday at 11 a.m. In Arkansas. So, and I have that information, but yes, she did pass away. She had a stent placed in her heart, and it didn't work. So she passed away from a heart attack. So prayers and condolences to that family as well. Amen. And also on tomorrow evening, Thursday night, the View of the Kingdom is going to have their segment. And last week they had God's Ideal Woman, and that has been listened to 94 times. Yes, I said 94 times. And so tomorrow it's an ideal man for the ideal woman, and that is 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern. You can call in at 845-241-9985. Our telephone number, so you ought to have that either engraved in your head or placed somewhere where you can just say, hey, this is the number I need to call in to join the conversation. Again, it's tomorrow, an ideal man for the ideal woman with View of the Kingdom, and it's for women from Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And on May 1st, we are having our first Sunday service with Reverend Carolyn McCullough, and we will be having communion. And that is at 3 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Mountain, 5 p.m. Central, and 6 p.m. Eastern. We're just like we're having church. We're having announcements. And Tuesday, May 3rd, Miss Inez says, let's talk about it. We had a segment last night with Mega Bread's Crumbs, and we're going to continue that. He's going to give us some more of his crumbs. He's given us like half the loaf, so he's going to give us some more, impart some more wisdom upon us on some financial information. So that's at 6 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Mountain, 8 p.m. Central, and 9 p.m. Eastern. And please support Ronnie Marshall, Reverend Ronnie Marshall, excuse me, with his Don't Turn Away from God album. And you can get that through iTunes, MyTunes, not really. Let's Buy His Tunes, Amazon, CD Baby, any and all music media. And if you want to listen to Bible Study again, like I said, go to On Demand. And go to the homepage of Do It On The Mall, click that radio icon, and you can listen to this episode again. Or if you want to maybe even be on the radio and discuss a topic, you can email us at letsdoitradio@gmail.com. That's letsdoitradio@gmail.com. And if you have a topic you'd like to discuss and or host with me, hit me up, and I'd be happy to discuss that topic with you. So that is all for the evening, unless someone else has something they'd like to say. Again, please join us on May 1st, first Sunday, with communion. Go ahead.
I couldn't get my mute button off. I just wanted to thank Reverend Rodney for such a very, very lively teaching tonight.
Yes,
it was just really very well. I chose to sit back and listen and maybe try to learn something tonight. I just wanted to commend Reverend Williamson and Reverend Rodney and Reverend Carolyn and Sister Inez, all of y'all. It was just really encouraging to me, and I just wanted to tell him thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for those words of thanks. And this is what I like to do when people do that. I know you're going to laugh at me, but it's okay if you laugh at me. My computer went down, so I have to almost go through it and redo everything. So please bear with me as we do this, because he did, what you say, give a wonderful Bible study, and they have been coming very lively, and this is what we like to do on those occasions. Oh, shoot. Okay, there we go. There we go. I guess we could have done that ourselves, but it's just so nice for the sound effects that we do have, and be able to give Rodney these rounds of applause, because he does a wonderful job. He goes back from the beginning for what the lesson started, which was in Matthew 5, and now we're in Matthew 6 and almost to Matthew 7. So we just going through the Bible, and I really appreciate every other week these Bible studies. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to each and every one of you who have joined us. And again, as we bow our heads and say the prayer, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we were absent, one from another. Please be blessed, stay blessed, and please pray one for another, because, you know, prayer covers us all. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And as we do it, the all in the mall prayer, please enjoy the rest of your evening until we meet again.
Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to understand and strengthen us to provide for ourselves and our communities by working together. It takes each and every one of us to come together as the kings and queens that we are and have always been. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. As I just said, each and every one of us. So give out something free this week, like a smile, because it doesn't cost anything, and see how much people appreciate and they appreciate you. Thank you. Have a blessed evening, and pray one for another. Amen.
Amen. Bye.